Well, thank you, worship leaders. Great ending. You're the one who never leaves the one behind. And we all know what it's like to be the one, don't we? Occasionally in life, we're the one. And what a great deal of good news for each of us that God, through Christ, never leaves any of us behind. And we are commissioned not to leave one another behind as well. Thinking about a family today. Senior pastor of the Dolphin Way Church in Mobile, good friend of mine, Robbins. Thinking about Nell today. Nell had surgery a couple of months ago. Complex surgery, but a surgery from which most people easily recover and move ahead in life. And unfortunately, Nell has gone on to her heavenly home. And I've been trying to find ways to relate to my friend Robbins and offer some care and encouragement to him. I can't think of him without a Nell, and some of you can't think of some folks without some other folks today. And some places of glad reunion and the joy around certain tables and transitions and graduations and just those great happy times. And so I join you in your thoughts today. And I'm caught up in mine as well today in my family, but also thinking of Robbins and Nell as well and their children and their grandchildren. And remembering Robbins saying to me the last time I had an opportunity to break bread with him. Nell and I are really looking forward in a couple of years to moving to North Alabama to be with our children and spend more time with our grandchildren. And so that puts kind of myself in a different context of gratefulness, not because I deserve that context, but because my lot in life has fallen in richer and places for sure. But I'm also reminded today of Robin's words. Most often when we are alone and have that moment, sometimes Nell would be present and they would always be those halting words to me. He would say, Paul, he says, my family in Union Springs will always be grateful to your father because he led my brother to Christ. It's made all the difference in my family. And I think of Nell reaching out and taking his hands in those moments as all of us kind of fight back the moisture in our eyes. And I'm just reminded of how we are related to one another in such deep and significant ways in life and what our main mission is and why we're here today and why we celebrate this Mother's Day together. And to be reminded of the great work that we have to do in helping that image of Christ be formed in one another. I'm also praying for the Reverend Sheila Bates. She has just been magnificent through this time of difficulty for the Sims family and has led so beautifully well and taken the forefront. And I pray for her and just her magnificent spirit as in pastoral care, her ability to hold that ship steady during this time of absence and hardship. And just pray that you will continue to pray with us as we walk through these days together. And I cannot help but to think about the significance of the weight that will and responsibility that will fall on her shoulders, the responsibility I've had a great joy of sharing in and bearing here. A little bit of guilt on my part, for sure. I'm trying to process these steps as well. I know that God has more work later on to be done, but it is the right time in my life, the right time in my Rita's time, who's had a couple of very difficult weeks to make the steps that we're making. But we move through this together because we belong to Christ, and His Father's image is in all of us, and we give thanks for that. Well, what is it that we want everyone to know at the core of their being? Not in their mind, but in their heart. We want them to know their identity in Christ Jesus. We want them to know that they are created in the image of God. I was in a Winn-Dixie store down in Fairhope this week, and there were two little boys there. They had gotten one of those little grocery carts, not the step-down grocery carts, but I mean the real little grocery carts. One of them was all scrunched up in the cart, and the other was pushing him up and down the aisles. And I was telling my Rita about this, and she said, well, that was dangerous. Didn't you do anything about it? And I said, no, I just stood with everybody else in awe of these two little guys. The look on their faces of joy and being ecstatic was just absolutely priceless on a Friday afternoon when there were lines of people and grumpy people and people who were self-consumed. I said, I wouldn't trade anything for just getting to see that moment and to just relish it and take joy in it. You know, friends, when God looks at our lives, he's looking for those moments as well. And sometimes we're maybe a little out of bounds. You know, you're not supposed to be using those little grocery carts to push your friend or your brother around in. But can you imagine the joy that just floods God's life when he sees us and just takes delight in the great joy that bubbles up in our lives, and we say, wow, this is absolutely a fantastic moment. Well, along with that, we know, and the image of God that's imprinted in all of us comes along, of course, some discussion, some conversation about the fall. Because in the fall, the image of God in all of us was marred and covered over. And we are about the business, and God's about the business through the cross of Christ. In the atoning death of Christ on the cross, Christ has reconciled us to God and intends to restore totally and completely the image of God in every single one of us that was placed there in creation. And that's the work that we're about. It's what we're about in families. There's a lot of humdrum, day-to-day drudgery, clothes and dishes and meals and cleaning and just that maintenance stuff, but at the same time, just that incredible opportunity to grow one another up in such a way that we come to understand at the core of our being, we are created in the image of God and in his likeness. Well, someone suggested at the 8 o'clock service today that I read the entire first chapter of Genesis. I'm not, so you can kind of have a sigh of release, but I'm still going to read a couple verses that I chose. And they said, you need to read it because God is creating and God is dancing and God is having the time of his life creating the heavens and the earth and that great joy. And I said, yes, I think folks will pick up on that, but I'm going to stick to these verses because I have a lot to say myself today. So this is God talking to those in heaven who is joining him at the creation of the first human beings. So God spoke and said to those who were around him, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. God created human beings. He created them godlike, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female. God blessed them, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. We praise God today for being a creator God, for creating us in his likeness, and for creating us with the ability to create and to give and to love and to forgive. Thanks be to God. I don't know how much interest you have in some of those 16th century artists, but on the cover of your bulletin, you have a couple paintings. One's a self-portrait of Rembrandt. The other is Leonardo da Vinci. But those painters like to paint themselves occasionally into their paintings. You will find their likeness occasionally. There's all kinds of controversy and discussion and secrets and around that, but some of them we're fairly clear that the artists placed themselves in their paintings, and sometimes it was done maliciously. I know Leonardo da Vinci etched his likeness into marble on a doorpost that goes into a rather stately business, beautiful. And it was a reminder to the owner that he had contracted him as the architect and Leonardo da Vinci felt like he had never been properly compensated for his work. And so he wanted this guy to pass by his likeness, his etching, every day to remind him that he owed him money. But they also had some good-hearted nature about it as well in their self-portrait. Sometimes they portrayed themselves as one of the apostles. Rembrandt painted himself in the likeness of the prodigal son returning to his father. And what they were trying to say to us and to those who view those paintings today is that I just want you to know that I'm connected with the matters of God and the things that God is doing, that I've experienced being the prodigal, that I would love more than anything in the world to be one of the apostles. I'm not, but boy, I'd love to be counted among them, because they were determined to share the good news of Jesus Christ and to give leadership in the church in their generation. And so they all used these self-portraits to send a message that it's not about me, it's about God. There is a God, a creator behind this that I want to help convey to you and to remind you that we also are self-portraits of God. Did you know that you are a self-portrait of God? You know that your children and those that you associate with are self-portraits of God? Some of that shining through a little bit more in some of us than it is in others. And maybe all of us have our moments and times then that we don't really see ourselves as a self-portrait of God. But what God intended when he created us in his likeness was that someone would look at us and see us in those moments when they would say, you know, wow, that's God shining through that individual. This is a self-portrait of God. God is conveying a message about himself through this individual. You've probably been that person occasionally, being modest. You won't share it. Maybe you won't even claim it. But there's been times when you have shown up, when you have been there for someone in a way that probably you never thought about or was very significant in your eyes, where someone said, you know, I think God really cares about me. God showed up in so-and-so today for me. And you know what? You made a difference in their life. We are God's self-portraits. Jesus said, let your light shine among others so that they'll see your good works and glorify my Father, which is in heaven. That's being a self-portrait, isn't it, of God? It's not about us. It's about getting people to worship God because they can say through us, wow, that was a magnanimous, wonderful, powerful gesture that was unbelievable. How did that person come up with that? How did they act like that in this circumstance? Why aren't they treating me like everybody else treats me? What do they see that maybe others don't? And could God be gazing at me through them? Can they become kind of that transparent one and through which God is really, really made manifest? There's a lot of just mundane stuff that goes on around home. We all know about that. Washing dishes and clothes and cleaning. It's just kind of a constant work. And Mother's Day is certainly about saying thank you for those who join in those mundane jobs of maintaining us. As I like to remind you, you started off in the very beginning as being completely dependent. Completely dependent. And someone cared for you, every one of you, every one of you. Every single one of you. And when you were born, there wasn't a whole lot of just a powerful manifestation of being human and excelling. You were weak. You were rather lazy. You were pretty self-centered. You know, self loves self and everything that exalts self. And that's kind of how we start. It's all about me. My comfort, my tummy, my needs. We begin that journey of allowing the likeness of God, the image of God, to be born and made manifest in our lives. And part of the great joy of being a part of a family and a part of relationships is just encouraging that likeness of God to come out and be manifest in people's lives. And so in this story of creation, of man and woman, and the fact that God says, we're going to put our likeness, our countenance, our heart, our spirit into this creation. It's just amazing how gifted and blessed each of us truly are. I don't think any of us realize really how amazing we are. The psalmist says it, I think, quite well, and I think it's Psalm 129, or 39, rather, where he talks about creation. You shape me first inside, and then you shape me outwardly. You form me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. That sense in which we are marvelously made into God's image, and how complex we are. You are fantastic because you're marvelously made. You have more processes in your life that contribute to your health every day than you could ever imagine. Some of you are have growling stomachs today. I know that's kind of low language, but because you hustled around the day in the rain and managed to get here perhaps without breakfast. But you know, this, the growling of our stomachs that just say, you know, there are some systems in us that we have no conscious control over that just work day after day after day after day. And every once in a while we don't feel well, and one of them kind of misfunctions. But friends, there are thousands of systems that work every day within our lives. Some of you may be a little queasy today. Some of you moms, I don't know, you may have gotten served, you know, double chocolate chip pancakes this morning with some rich syrup. And so there are some other systems working in you trying to compensate for all of that sugar and all that you have consumed today to try to please someone. But out of all of that, this complexity in which we live, the hormonal systems, the things that happen behind the scenes that we have nothing to do with, but yet contribute to our health, to our ability, to our aspirations. It said the information that the human body processes unconsciously every day could fill up an entire, would be more information than would be in the average library. That all of those processes are working in us. The psalmist captured that. I am awesomely and fearfully made, O God. You are an awesome God. And I am this marvelous person because not only are there all of the biological processes, I'm created in your image. We are created in the image of God who gives. God gives. God made us to give as well. We are created in the image of God who loves. God loves, and we have been given the ability to love as well. God forgives, and we can forgive because we are made in the image and likeness of God, and forgiveness is a gift of ours as well. And God has given us, you know, that kind of responsibility. I like that word, responsibility, that Eugene Peterson gives for the world and everything in it. Elephants are magnificent, aren't they? They're just beautiful beings, and they do a great job being elephants, but they're not given responsibility that we are forgiven. They're not created in the image of God. What they're doing now is not going to be fulfilled in the life to come and in heaven. And just, we are incredibly and fantastically made, and we celebrate that. So what do we do with those that we share life with? What an enormous responsibility. Today is a difficult day, I know, in many ways for all of us. I've been grieving and sharing texts with my family this morning, celebrating my mom's life and just celebrating the fact that I belong to others who share the same mother and that I love and continue to do life with. There are difficult tracks along the way. I can't help but think of my dear mother of five in my little clan and all that we put on her. It's a little bit of guilt there, like, wow, you know, mom was fantastic, but did we ever think about mom and what she was going through when she was trying to nurture and care for a lot of us? And we were pretty clumsy and broken up and, you know, stayed in trouble and had our challenges. I mean, how many teachers' conferences did she have to go to just for me, you know? It's like, wow, mom, this is just, you know, absolutely fantastic. But I hope if you're a mom that you'll sit up a little straighter. And if you're part of the church, you'll sit up a little straighter today because God has entrusted us with that task of helping individuals to discover that they are created in God's image. To discover just how fantastic they are and how wonderfully and fearfully they have been made and how awesome they really are. Well, I've been rediscovering a lot of things in my life that have been put away, packed up for quite some time. excuse me, made some of those moves where, such as when I went on the cabinet, where somebody else packed everything in my office, and I was working two jobs for several months trying to finish out my work at the church, trying to transition to the district. So some of those boxes have been packed for, you know, almost 20 years, and so I'm unpacking some of them. And I found this little paperweight about this high. It's kind of a pyramid, but real pointy, kind of like a really steep triangle. And it brought back memories to me, because it was the first gift I think my Rita gave me after we were married, after marriage, and kind of into our life together. And I remember we were hard scrabble, trying to keep both of us in school and trying to make a life for ourselves. You know, we had that phrase, being starving students, and you know, just tough life, but just such good days. But when I open it up, I always realize that this was the beginning. This was the beginning. This is a symbol of the beginning of my owning up to that incomplete likeness of God being in my life. Because I remember when she gave it to me, I remember I couldn't be joyous about it, because I realized that this was going to impact our family budget pretty negatively. And we had received a lot of gifts, and there had been a wedding and all of that. It was time for gift giving to be over. And so I remember that just being Paul, being practical, dull, narrow lane Paul, I just couldn't rejoice over it. And so when I opened it, that box again, where it had been for some time, I thought, oh my goodness, that was so definitive of how narrow and how self-centered I was during those days, and how I stole that joy from her when there should have been such a great positive celebration, that for no reason at all other than she was my new spouse, she wanted to give me something, and I couldn't let go of my agenda enough to appreciate it. That's why family life and marriage and relationships are so difficult, because we bring self into them so much. And you know, self loves self, and everything that exalts self, and we want to be in control, and we don't want to create those moments where others receive that kind of joyful appreciation. And so I love it, even though the tip of it has cracked and broken off and is pointy. I still save it, because it says, Paul, thank God, God put you on a journey. You're not there yet. Let that creation, that image of God, be more fully formed in your life. Let that joy, you know, break loose in you, that steps forward and says, God creates, that's why I can create. We celebrate music in church because, you know, it's creative. You know, it's powerful what these individuals do. I just admire them. And God creates, and so do they, and they help me create as best I can to follow along in that music. There are a couple of things that I want to say from the scripture. One is that the incredibility of each of us. That may not be a word for you. It is in the dictionary. I may be pronouncing it right. You know, that never stops me. I use a word, you know, as long as I think it fits. So it never stops me before. But incredibility. You know, you have the status of incredibility. You are absolutely incredible. And God has placed God's likeness in you. Nothing could be more incredible than that. That you are absolutely incredible, and that the Spirit of God resides in you in such a powerful way, and that awesomeness is there for a purpose. You're created incredible because you have a purpose in life. God wants you to not only experience unlocking the image of God in yourself, but helping to unlock that image in others. And that's why we are put together in families, and why we were created in the first place with all of that possibility and with all of that power at work within us that just astounds us, and that we are just magnificently and wonderfully made. It's one of the great blessings of being a grandparent, isn't it? I went through one of those painful points about a week ago when my 7-year-old grandson tripped his sister, who was jumping over him in the living room, and he raised his knees back enough to trip her. She was going over, so that created, of course, a one of those moments that Dad had to speak into, and it was painful, it was tough, and it was there, but it was necessary. It was just that reminder that it's messy, it's difficult, and what's your role as a grandparent? You know, how much, when should you step in, and when are you allowed to kind of console after the difficult time and the tears, and you know, what do you say? How do you back up the parent in saying yes? Those harsh words were necessary. You know, that sending to the room, those tears, that had to be done. We all at the same time just letting loose that in these individuals, these little individuals, that they are created in the image of God, and there is so much that God has in mind for them. And then, of course, along with that incredibility comes that purpose that God has for each and every one of us in life, along with the responsibility as well. There's a woman whose name is Laycock, who has been the dean of the Stanford University. She's the dean of freshman students. You can imagine what that role is like. Dean of freshman students. She's written a book recently that is titled How to Raise an Adult. And she talks about the importance of, first of all, loving unconditionally. What we want people to know as deep inside of them as anything is that they are created in the image of God, that they are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and there is a hiding place. There is a core place that they can go to in the worst of times when they still know who they are, because that image of God can't be wiped out of their life, and the work of Christ can't be done away with. And so that core place. And she says part of it is just that joy, spreading that joy in their life, where occasionally you can let go and rejoice with them, where you live with confidence in uncertainty, and you don't venture into that place where everything is about responsibility, about inadequacy, that you don't interpret to them that there is always not enough in life, but even in the rawest, difficult, most taxing time, that life is still plenteous, that it's still good. And a part of being created in that image of God is to reflect God's gracefulness, but also God's abundance and God's provision, and the fact that God is constantly working in our lives. As broken as we may be, as broken as our world may be, God is constantly working. And though this moment is not working out really well, and it seems to be like a dead end, there's always that empty tomb that comes back to remind us that God does the impossible, that God gives us hope, and God gives us a place, regardless of how difficult it might be. And friends, we all know that's not easy to convey, isn't it? It's just not easy to convey. But it's a part of our faith. The whole Bible is that story. God creates. There is the fall, the disobedience, but God doesn't give up. God steps right back in and says, all right, let's start this journey. Let's move forward as a people, and just know that I'm there advocating for you. It's part of the reason we gather as a church, because this life always will have the tendency to move all of us to unhealthiness. And it's the church's job to keep reminding us, you are created in the image of God. There is someone who is celebrating and singing over you. There are qualities in your life that are more powerful than you could ever imagine. And those are God-given. And they may be covered over. They may be a little bit marred. They may be a little beat up. But they're still there because God rejoices over you. My five-year-old was asked by her aunt where her art pieces might be that she did in preschool down in Fairhope. And there was no hesitation. She said, I know where they are. They're on your refrigerator. I was glad to see refrigerator art being passed on to the next generation. But you know what? If God had a refrigerator, and I believe he does, I believe your picture is on that refrigerator. And there is such an important task for us to remind individuals of that, because so many believe that that picture has been taken down, or it's behind other pictures of people who have just done exceedingly more than we have in life. But to remind people that your picture is on the refrigerator. You're created in the image of God. You're part of that circle, and nothing, no one can take your place, because you are one of God's special children. We live in an era of celebrity worship, don't we? And we all get caught up sometimes in those thoughts and trying to consume all of the information that comes about those who do extraordinary things and are doing extraordinarily well. Scott Perzinski is someone that I've met through the University of Chicago alumni magazines. I've shared about getting that by accident. I'm not an alumnus of University of Chicago, but somehow along the way it got on my mail list. And so when I move, it's free. I've changed my address, so I've been getting it for years. What I enjoy about it is reading the biography of people who graduate from the University of Chicago. I mean, good grief. It's unbelievable what these people have done with their lives, and I find it a challenge and an interest. So I'm especially interested in the class of 74 for undergraduate and class of 77 for graduate students, especially kind of gotten to know some of these people. They show up occasionally, and I celebrate. It's kind of the last reading of the day, that kind of mindless reading, but that just kind of takes you into that world of imagination. But Scott has just been named the director of polar operations, medical operations for the University of Texas medical branch. And he's had a remarkable career, and occasionally he shows up somewhere through some of that writings. When he was graduating from medical school, he was chosen to be a part of the lunar program. He was the personal physician to John Glenn. He has flown 5 shuttle missions, conducted 7 space walks for 47 hours outside of the space vehicle. As a teenager, he began to climb mountains, the Alaska Range, Cascades, Rockies, Alps, Andes, Himalayas. In his second attempt, he was able to scale Mount Everest and became the first astronaut to stand on the top of the world. He has also conducted scientific dives in the summit of the lakes of several volcanoes, and he has a commercial instrument, multi-engine, seaplane-rated pilot over which he has flown 2,500 hours. He's a medical doctor, has 2 PhDs, been awarded all kinds of medical degrees beyond that. So what I say after I read that is, you know, no reason to get up early tomorrow morning. You know, why get up at all? You know, why get up at all? You know, my world is pretty small compared to his. But at the same time, there is that reminder, that incredible reminder, that all of us are created in the image of God. That all of our faces, all of our likenesses are on the refrigerator of God. That God knows us, and God loves us, and God is present with us, and God is cheering for us. So on this day when we celebrate families, let's remember that our primary work together is to remind one another that we are created in the image of God, and His likeness is in every one of us. And nothing can take that likeness from us. And as we join together, may that Spirit fill us and fill our spirits and our families and our lives in such a way that we don't let go of our dreams. The dreams for ourselves, our dreams forever, for others, the dreams for our church, the dreams for our community, to know that in that likeness we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, and we have a Heavenly Father that claims us, that believes in us, and will produce in our world the hope and the power to persevere and to come at last into that heavenly place where all of us will see that likeness in glorious ways we cannot imagine. And Christ and our God will be there with us. And we will finally become fully human, just as Christ was fully human. May His likeness be formed in all of us to His honor and glory. We're going to sing together as our worship team comes to guide us. And I just pray that you'll take this moment to ask God to continue to help you to recognize His image in you. Remember, you are a self-portrait of God, and so let your self-portrait occasionally speak of your Creator, of your Redeemer, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that gives life to us.